Hi, welcome to episode 449 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I apologize for how bad the following podcast is, but it's not my fault. It was re-edited, re-recorded, and butchered by the studio! Today, the 449th issue of the Fantastic Four, it's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 20, from August 1999. Since the last time we saw Paris, it's been ruined by Chris Claremont and Salvador La Roca. Or a better title would be, the last time I read an issue of the Fantastic Four, it's been ruined by Chris Claremont and Salvador La Roca. Hey, it's the Fantastic Forecast, a podcast devoted to the adventures of the Fantastic Four, a comic book that is no longer being published, that inspired a cartoon series in the 1970s that everyone makes fun of, and four movies that everyone seems to hate. So why am I doing a podcast about the Fantastic Four? No idea. No idea at all. I should have started a Guardians of the Galaxy podcast 5 years ago. And now, the podcast stock price would be through the roof, and I'd be a millionaire. But no, I had to choose the Fantastic Four. The value of this podcast is nothing. It has no value. But to be fair, it never had value. So the last time we saw the Fantastic Four, they had teleported from the Negative Zone to Paris. However, it's not the Paris they're familiar with, because the Eiffel Tower is made out of bones, which kind of sounds cool. Isn't everything better when it's made out of bones? The St. Louis Arch? Would be so much more exciting if it were made out of bones. Statue of Liberty, made out of bones, would be sensational. The Fox primetime schedule, nothing but episodes of bones, all bones, every night. Now that's must-see TV right there. So the FF must think the Eiffel Tower of bones is pretty cool, because that's the first thing they do, is they go up on top of it. There's a flying dinosaur creature in the background, so maybe they're in some kind of, like, Jurassic World or something. And they look down at the city, and they see Notre Dame, the Arc de Triomphe, the Champs-Élysées, and all over the city, it's been ruined, covered in the form and substance from another world. Another world? Which was canceled in 1999, and the cast members were murdered, and their remains were spread all over Paris. I was always more of a Bold and Beautiful fan myself. Okay, maybe that's not right. Maybe they mean that the stuff all over the city from another world is from, like, an alien world. That's probably it. Johnny recognizes the architecture and reminds him of the goons they battled the last time they were in Paris, in Volume 3, Number 1. And he wants to fly off and kick their asses. As always, Reed has to calm him down and tells him that they need to stay together as a team. Reed turns into a giant parachute and he glides everyone back down to the street. And I think that qualifies as base jumping, which is very illegal to do off the Eiffel Tower. Someone needs to arrest those lawbreakers. Of course, no one's going to arrest them because Sue has turned them all invisible as they float through the air, which would make for a terrible base jumping YouTube video. So the people I thought were tourists last issue, when the FF arrived in Paris, they weren't tourists at all, but refugees who told the FF that the city was evacuated. But if that's the case, how are they refugees? The people who left Paris would be the refugees. The people who stayed in Paris are just locals. So they head back to the excavation site where they previously encountered the bad guys, the Ruined. The place underground is cold and creepy. Reed stops to scan some of the ancient writings on the wall, and he gets into a little conversation with Johnny about how the computer in Reed's uniform can track the location and gather information on whatever the other three members of the team are up to at any time, which doesn't sit too well with Johnny. Earth to Reed, ever hear of a radical concept known as privacy? Johnny says. Poor Johnny. I'm sure he keeps his uniform mostly on while having sex with ladies in the alleys behind New York City nightclubs, and Reed has been watching the entire time. Sue tells them to talk about it later because they have company. And a French dude shows up and says, "I believe we may be allies. I am an agent of the Douaumé Bureau, the French Secret Service. You may call me Reno." Wow, a new character. And guess what? He's not a woman. Reed tells him that in this situation, he may be out of his league. And Reno replies, "That Monsieur Storm remains to be seen." Ouch. Dude doesn't even know Reed's last name. Calls him Monsieur Storm. On some of the drawings on the wall, Reed recognizes Yvette Diamond, a student who was tricked into helping the Ruined back in Volume 3, Number 1. They recognize another female figure, which starts to glow. The drawing is of Arlyle, one of the many female characters introduced into this book that I'm not able to keep track of, but Johnny seems concerned. Back in the city, two women, Feta Morgana and Margali Sardos, are running for their lives from the Ruined. But the group of freaks catch up to them, and they say that they will not be eluded or denied. They should also mention their motivations will not be explained. The blonde woman says to the Ruined that she has paid too high a price to be claimed by the likes of them, and the dark-haired woman says that the human Arlyle is no more, and in her place stands Katar of the Bloodblades. Ugh. I'm a terrible podcaster. I can't keep track of who all these women are. There's too many of them. Too many. Is Feta Morgana the same person as Arlyle, who's the same person as Cater of the Bloodblades? Oh, come on, Claremont. It's bad enough you throw in a zillion new beautiful large-breasted female characters into the book in a short period of time, but at least try to give everyone one name? One name? To make it easier on me? Johnny, meanwhile, knows something is wrong with Arlyle. Why does he care so much about Arlyle? Who the hell is Arlyle? He flames on and he flies away, burning his uniform off in the process so that Reed can't track him. I think Johnny's hoping to find Arlyle and hook up with her and doesn't want Reed peeping in on him. And nearby, in an underground cavern, the blonde lady, Margali Sardos, is hanging around upside down, a prisoner of the Ruined. And Yvette Diamond has showed up, and she's about to use her big sword to perform a sacrifice. But then Johnny arrives, and he's immediately attacked by the freaks of the Ruined. And Johnny can't fight back because the Ruined are just bad guys who have possessed the bodies of innocent people, so it would not be cool to burn them up. It's not like Johnny would burn up the bad guys anyway. So while Johnny tries to figure out a way to fight back, Margali is still stuck upside down, worried that if a drop of her blood is drawn, the Ruined will have a foothold on Earth, and the transformation of Paris will be irreversible. Which, it doesn't sound so bad. A bone Eiffel Tower would be quite the tourist attraction. During the fight, Johnny gets struck by some blue creature's energy sword, knocking the buck-naked Johnny to the floor. And then, the blue dude goes over to Johnny and says, "So arrogant you were. So humbled you are. I've never seen anything so deliciously pretty. You'll make the most lovely pet." And the blue creature dude, or maybe it's a blue creature lady, looks like a dude, hard to tell, kisses Johnny on the lips, and Johnny's frozen, unable to move, and he can only watch as Yvette raises her sword and prepares to strike Margali. And just then, the Hulk bursts into the room. Oh, sorry, that's an ad for milk. And just then, the rest of the FF show up, and the Thing grabs Yvette, and Sue holds back the Ruined with a force field. Reed tries to free Margali from the coils that have held her down, but the coils are a bunch of tentacles belonging to a large orange creature covered in, seems like, dozens and dozens of stretchy tentacles. All four members of the FF get wrapped up in the creature's tentacles, and then Reno shows up with a gun, which he aims at Yvette's head. Reed yells at him not to shoot her, but Reno says that if they eliminate her, they eliminate the threat to Paris. Reed yells at Johnny to flame on, and Johnny struggles, but he manages to fire himself up. He burns through the tentacles around him, and the room is engulfed in flames, which the Ruined are not fans of. Reed stretches off to safety, carrying Sue, while Ben grabs Yvette and runs away. He grabs her sword and rams it into the wall, and as they flee, Reed screams out that the Matrix is building to detonation. I'm not sure what that means, other than that Sue has to put up a force field because shit blows up good, and Paris returns to normal. Johnny gets some pants, and the cops arrive to take Arlyle to jail. I'm still confused. Who the hell is Arlyle? And what was her involvement in all this? And why are they arresting her? And how did Johnny get pants? Johnny argues with Mr. Reno and the French police that it wasn't her fault. Why don't they arrest Yvette for that matter? But Johnny and the FF aren't able to do anything to help Arlyle, so they have to leave, with Reed telling Reno they'll be back. And meanwhile, it's nighttime in Manhattan, and back at the FF's warehouse headquarters, some mysterious figure is lurking around outside. Either it's a supervillain with nefarious plans, or a homeless person peeing on the wall. Inside, Franklin is in there with his new alien puppy, being watched over by his new nanny, Alessandra Stewart, and Reed's old friend, Alyssa Moy. Just then, a young blonde woman in a pink pajamas, brushing her teeth, wanders into the room, surprising everyone. Alyssa asks who she is, and she replies, "Chill the attitude, Aunt Alyssa. I live here." And then she notices Franklin and asks, "How come you're so young?" She wonders if he's been doing some time dancing. I guess that's her word for time traveling. And by the way, what's with the Aunt Alyssa stuff? Is Alyssa going to marry Johnny? Wouldn't it be great if she did marry Johnny and then she turned out to be Lyja the Skrull? You would think that the FF would be suspicious about Alyssa and Alessandra and test them both for being Skrulls. So yes, this young woman who just showed up is Valeria, the daughter of Sue and Dr. Doom from another timeline, who first appeared a few issues ago. Franklin recognizes her and says, "I've seen you in my special dreams. We've had adventures." Which sounds so wrong. A lot more wrong than I think it's supposed to sound. She realizes that she must be the one who's done the time dancing. Just then, the person from outside, a woman called Bounty, who first appeared 6 issues ago, another new female Claremont creation, jumps into the room and attacks the room full of other new Claremont creations, Alyssa, Alessandra, and Valeria. She says that she has a retrieval warrant for Alessandra Stewart. "Take her! Take her, please! And take Valeria and Alyssa with you." These metal Dr. Doom gloves appear on Valeria's hands, and she smacks Bounty across the face, and the rest of a Dr. Doom slash Fantastic Four half-and-half outfit appears on Valeria, and she calls herself Marvel Girl. Yeah, that's a great superhero nickname right there. That and Power Man are fantastic. They're so good that Luke Cage and Jean Grey usually go by the real names. So Valeria and Bounty start fighting it out, while Alessandra turns into her warrior woman persona, Caledonia. Bounty manages to handcuff Valeria while delivering a long, long speech about Valeria being very good, but Bounty being the best. And then, a grenade comes bouncing into the room, from a hole in the wall, exploding and knocking everyone out. And then a group of calling themselves the Baki enter the room. This is a group from 13 issues ago, 3 people, all women of course, and they say they've come looking for Susan Richards. And that completes another lackluster issue of the Fantastic Four. These issues are crazy. Claremont is creating so many new characters, all of them attractive women, and it's not easy to always tell them apart. And I'm still curious as to why Alyssa Moy is in this book. What's her deal? Sue is okay with Reed's ex-girlfriend hanging around all the time? And they're letting this stranger, Alessandra, be Franklin's nanny. Did they even check her references? And what are the odds that Bounty would show up at the headquarters looking for Alessandra, just as the Baki show up looking for Sue? And is this the first time that their headquarters have been attacked by 2 villains at the same time, both with different agendas? And Valeria. Oh, Valeria. I hate Valeria. I'll have more to say about her later. A lot more. Claremont needs to be kicked in the nuts for creating this loathsome character. If I had to pick a jump-the-shark moment of the Fantastic Four, it might be the addition of Valeria to the cast. I blame her 100% for the fact that in the last 15 years, the FF comic keeps getting canceled over and over again. So that's it. That's all I have for today. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.